Scott Spears, Glenn Coble back with you Wednesday, March the 10th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour on the air here. Don't forget, if Progressive Life follows this program today, 12:10 to 1 p.m., Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 today, and the Trinity Baptist Church, 6:10 to 7 tonight, all here on WWGH Radio. Also, don't forget the Best of Charlie Evers today from 1:10 to 2 p.m., and at 7:10 until 8 p.m. tonight. We have a replay of the Exchange Club today from 2:10 till 3 p.m., last Friday's Exchange Club, and the Pastor Spot replays today with Pastor Steve Whitaker from 3:10 to 4 p.m. prior to Nate's show. So there you go.
You got the full lineup.
You got the full lineup for what's going to be on today.
I had an interesting message, you know, Facebook message. One of the people that was wanting to listen to Gary Tuttle's story last week on Thursday had turned us on the day before to make sure that they could, you know, pull us up on the line, the website. And this person was from California, and I don't remember her. It was a her. I don't remember her name, but she was from California, and she said, well, she got interested in our last Wednesday show before. She hadn't heard Gary yet because he was on Thursday, but she said, I got interested, so I listened a little while, and she said, you ought to syndicate that. And I thought, well, that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Well, that's why, you know, and by the way, phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. You know, I've always thought that radio, even more than any other entertainment medium, internet, television, newspapers, is more subjective because we do more long-term things. You know, we do... Radio has always been that way with talk shows. We do 45 minutes. We do even music stations. They do long streaks of music that are usually the same. They don't put country with rap and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's all very subjective. So when somebody always says to me, well, I think that was a good show, I think that was a bad show, well, to you, probably, but to somebody else, probably not.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. And I was shocked. I don't know this person from Adam, and I don't know. I assume she listened to the Gary me interviewing Gary Tuttle the next day, but she didn't call back and say, oh, that was terrific or anything, or Facebook back. But I was kind of interesting that, well, we got listeners from San Obispo and Ventura and lots of different places people listen to the show.
That's why it's very clear, God forbid, and even with time, maybe not even so much a problem with being over the air. I mean, there are several other reasons. Transmitters can blow up.
Sure.
Time can pass. I think we really have to be aware of how...
Somebody can turn it off.
Somebody can turn it off. You really got to be aware of how this medium is transmitted, and you can't live in the dark ages. And,
right.
And I even said to the newspaper when we were having that whole dust-up back in February, if they shut the transmitter off, we would not go away.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, after I got the Google Nest for my birthday as a gift, I can just say, hey, Google, play 107.1 FM, and there we are.
Is that right?
And that has nothing to do with transmitters or antennas.
Even though there are lots of 107.1s
yep.
throughout the nation?
Because I think it's programmed to my liking.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, sure. You like this station? I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I mean, would you if for whatever reason the transmitter got turned off, would you stop coming in to do a show?
No, I didn't.
Exactly. Neither would I. And I think it's an interesting thing that we in a way I really think we're living in the dark ages. I like the transmitter. I like that people can listen in their cars, but you can only do that for the county radius.
Yeah.
You know, if you're outside the county, you got to go a different route.
Well, and it used to be important, like when WLS out of Chicago, an AM station, and they played rock and roll, they had 50,000 watts. You could hear it in Pennsylvania. You could hear it in New York if you know, at night. And that was needed back then. Now you can be heard in Barcelona, Spain, from right here with only whatever number of watts we have.
Well, and it should be mentioned that, you know, if, heaven forbid, you know, I think the newspaper made that seem like much more of a bigger deal than it was, the whole FCC thing, that if a license is pulled, TuneIn does not go away. The website does not go away. We don't stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah, you can't shut us up.
You can't shut us up, and you never will be able to. Darn it. Just when you thought. But I am fascinated by the new technology, and maybe it's because I was not born into that technology like people who are 25 and under were.
Yeah.
But they don't listen on the radio.
Yeah,
they listen on their phones.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what's happening to music. I don't listen to music radio anymore because I have it on, you know, a CD or I have it on Pandora or something like that. And I get to listen to the songs I like rather than the ones that some DJ likes. So.
Well, the appeal of this station to me is not that we're over the air. The appeal to this station to me is that you can't get what we're doing anywhere else.
Yeah, but, you know, the nice thing about, and I will stand up for keeping the radio signal because one of the appeals of our station is our locality, locally.
Well, I don't think we would
focused.
Do away with that.
No.
No, I think we would, because where you broadcast from is always important, no matter your delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think you would get rid of that.
Have you, if you get certain streaming networks, they will say you get local news, and then you pull it up, and your local news is from Rochester, New York. You know?
Well, that's right. I would not. No. Nothing would change.
Yeah.
You know, if the transmitter were shut off Friday, we would not stop covering Marion news. We would not stop doing Marion obituaries because we're in Marion. Why?
Yeah.
Why would you do otherwise?
I agree. I agree.
So yeah, but the delivery of these mediums is going to be looked at even heavier as time goes on. See, the problem is that somebody says, I'm going to do an internet radio station. And they come on and they have no consistency. You know, they're not on every morning. You know, if mm-hmm. you have to have shows that are going to be on 5 days a week at the same time.
Yeah.
You've got to have news that's going to be on the same time. That's their biggest problem. And they don't have enough content to fill 24 hours.
Surprisingly enough, I bet there are certain people in Marion that tune in Wednesday morning at 10:15 just to listen to you and me. I don't know why they would, but they do. And it's specific. So there are people that will listen for the minister's segment and won't listen to the other stuff. So, yeah.
Well, we had two calls during the pastor's show last week, and we didn't even solicit the calls, and they were great calls.
Yeah, yeah. That's very rewarding. A lot of people say, oh, you only had two, but what is it, an hour? Or is it an hour?
45 minutes.
45 minutes long. Two calls in 45 minutes means what? You're listening, at least you got 1,000 people listening.
Well, like I've always said, if anybody ever says anything negative about this station, just remember, you don't complain about something that's not doing well. If there's a restaurant in town that has no business, nobody complains because nobody's in there eating.
Well, that's not true.
You don't think?
Well, I know one place that went out of business that I went into a couple of times, and I did complain.
Well,
and it was terrible.
But I think they probably went out of business because of the quality of their, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's take the phone call.
Okay.
Oh, this is... Okay, go ahead, caller. Are you there?
I got a couple of those last week.
Yeah, I think that was a telemarketer, I think.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Phone lines are open, though, for you if you'd like to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We are glad to take the call anytime you would like to call in. But it's an interesting world we live in now, and I think people do have a hard time with change.
Yeah, they do. But you know what I don't have a hard time changing? Our weather. Oh, it was so nice the last couple of days, and it was nice out there today when I came in.
And tomorrow I think it's supposed to be
Is
nice.
It?
Friday I think it's supposed to dip, but not huge.
Okay,
not
good.
A huge dip.
All right.
So that's a good thing.
Well,
go ahead, caller.
Well, it's me again.
Go ahead.
Oh, are you one of those junk callers that we get?
Yeah,
off?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to tell something, but I don't know what yet. I haven't figured that out. We've got Glenn. You and I have got one more show to do on the presidents.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking ahead here, and I want to bounce this off you two guys and see what you think. Are you both familiar with the submarine called the Hunley?
I am not.
No.
It was a Confederate submarine that
was
during the Civil War that sunk after it delivered a mine.
Yeah.
There's a new book that just came out. I just bought it yesterday. Woman who is an engineer and actually a naval engineer has spent the last almost 20 years coming up with theories as to what happened to the Hunley after it discharged its mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk about that. I'll have the book read by then. It's a very interesting subject. I think a lot of people don't realize that they were using submarines during the Civil War.
Didn't all hands die on that, though?
I'm sorry?
Didn't it go down and never come back up?
They never found. They found it in the year 2000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It took that long for it to be found, over 150 years, 160 years.
With all hands on deck, I don't think they got out.
With all hands there, right. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting subject. So I'm interested to see what this naval engineer came up with, because she, as I said, she spent a couple of decades since they actually found the Hunley to make a determination as to what happened. It's very fascinating. Just reading the prologue, I'm already very intrigued. So I think maybe next month we'll hit that.
Okay, now we're on for next Thursday, right?
Is that the third Thursday?
I think so.
I mark them on the calendar. Yeah. So if it's the third Thursday, we'll
pretty sure
we'll wrap up the president.
Right. Yeah. Now we're doing the inaugural stuff about the presidents. Right?
Yeah, that and whatever else I can throw in if I don't have a whole lot about the inaugural.
That's good.
You know what was interesting to me the other day? Do you remember in the 80s, I think it was in the 80s, when they found the Titanic, where it had crashed, and they found the wreckage submerged in the water, there was a lot of documentaries done on that, a lot of attention paid to that, and then the movie was big and biggest movie of all time and all that. Have you noticed in the last 15 years, I mean, isn't it still submerged underwater there? Why does nobody talk about that anymore?
Well, I just recently saw an updated documentary that James Cameron did. He is still actively pursuing that whole situation. And this was just made, I think, whenever they get into the Atlantic, in the middle of the summer, they can get in, something like that. So this documentary was only a year old. And they're still pursuing a lot of different angles as to why this happened and why that happened and why the debris field is here and why it's there. So he, I think, is about the only one that's still expressing any interest in that ship.
Well,
you're absolutely right. A lot of that just completely fell off after the movie came out.
Well, it's fascinating to me because last I heard, and I think it was before the pandemic, they were supposed to do another Titanic just like the original and go on the same trip at the same time frame that the Titanic did. And I think that was supposed to be, wasn't that supposed to be this year? I haven't heard much more about, didn't it sink in 1911?
Yeah, 11 or 12, I can't remember which. I think it was 12, maybe. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think there is a trip planned for it.
I tell you what, don't tempt fate. This thing is going to sink. I wouldn't be on that boat for any amount of money in the world.
I've been on one cruise in my life, and that's the last one I'll ever take.
My grandmother and grandfather had in their basement, and I can't remember the name of the boat, they were on a boat that was hit by another boat, and they had pictures of the boat with this giant gaping hole in the side of it. Was it the Andrea Doria? Anyway, they were on it, and they made it to shore.
The Titanic sank on tax day 1912.
Really?
1912, yeah.
So a year, about
April
a year from
of 1912,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So next year would be the 100th anniversary.
So you're going to get your tickets?
No, 110, right?
No, 110, yeah.
Yeah,
110. So you're going to get your tickets for this?
No, like I said, I went on one cruise about 15 years ago. Our cabin was, we didn't spend a whole lot of money on the cruise, so our cabin was in the bottom of the ship.
Uh-huh.
And the first port that we came into was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I hear this horrible new sound right at my head. And I thought, what the hell is this? The boat, pardon my fault, you got the 5-second delay. What is that noise? It sounds like the ship has run aground or something. Well, I found out later that our cabin, or our berth, was right beside where the anchor went down.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they're not small things.
And so then in the last several years, of course, they've had all these problems with all these ships that have issues. And so I told my wife, I said, never again. I've been on my first and last cruise.
There you go. Well, hey, we got to hit a break here. Thanks for calling, Fred.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to break here, but I, you know what? I these Titanic people have lost their mind. Give us a call. Would you go on the Titanic 110 years later? Be back in 1 minute. 740-383-9944.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
And we're back here, Glenn and Scott. Glenn, I'll get you a ticket on the Titanic for Christmas this year.
I think I'll pass.
No, Glenn, the pandemic will be over by then.
Make it up
the
on
Titanic
your own.
Too. It'll be great. 740-383-9944. No, you go on and report back to us here.
Okay. I'd rather, as you know, I raced on the Chicago to Mackinac sailboat race several times. I'd rather do that and do a reporting from that. Even in the middle of a squall, I'd rather do it than go on a, what are those things called? Cruise. I don't want to go on a
cruise. But is that a cruise? I think that's a
death
mission. Yeah, why would you do that? You know something bad's going to happen, especially that date. The date that it sunk, oh, man.
For sure the food's going to be bad.
You know what? We've had this conversation in the morning. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do not.
Okay, but there's a lot of that. I wonder why. You know, Mike Wilson on Monday nights has had this Ghost Sister group on a couple times, maybe a couple, three times. I just...
One of the things that the United States is number one in is believing in angels.
Well, I don't think an angel's a ghost.
Well, in my opinion, it is. But.
Well, but that's... I'm talking about ghosts. I'm talking about apparitions. I'm talking about people who
like
have
on
died.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
That, well, but I don't
not
really
funny
think,
ones, but
I don't know. When I think of ghosts, I think of these stories people tell, like of you know, a spot on the floor they cannot get out, or a door unlocking itself that they lock every night, or things like that.
Yeah,
which isn't necessarily seeing anything. But they believe it's very ghostly. So, does anybody have these things? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you believe in ghosts? And if so, what have you seen? Now, what is it when somebody's pregnant? Remember, you used to... You would put.
You don't
the,
know how that works.
No. How you detect if it's a boy or a girl?
Oh,
you
yeah.
You used to swing something.
Ways. Yeah, you
over their wrist.
Swing their wedding ring over their tummy or something like. I don't know.
I thought it was just swung something over their wrist, and if it went back and forth, it was a boy, and if it went side to side, it was a girl.
I think they had all sorts of those old wives' tales that. Would tell you which sex it was, when in fact sometimes even the doctors get it wrong, even
well,
now.
But somebody told me if you carry high or you carry low, that's some indication.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, I don't. I can't carry a baby, so I can't tell you.
Breaking news. Put that on the website. I don't know. To me, it.
Are you trying to tell us that you have somebody pregnant that you're trying to figure
out? No, but you know, it's interesting you bring this up because early this morning we got into a conversation. Why did that come up? Oh, I was talking with one of our listeners about they just had a grandchild.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about baby names.
Yeah.
And she said her new grandchild is named Oliver.
Oh.
That's a neat name.
That's an
older name.
Yeah, very
and I said, what do you think of the name Murphy?
because I think that could be a boy or a girl, and that's kind of an older name.
Very old.
She asked me if I was thinking about having a baby. And here's, you know, have you ever psychoanalyzed yourself about something?
About a lot of things.
Okay,
yes.
Well, I came to a clear picture of this psychoanalyzation about children with me. Here's what it is.
I'm just enjoying thinking about it.
Just get ready. This is going to blow your mind. What I discovered was I used to think the reason I did not want to have a kid at this point was because of my age. I didn't want to be close to 60 at a high school graduation.
Yeah.
That's not it. I don't think that's it, now that I think about it. I think what it is both of my parents were their parents' oldest child.
Oh.
And I was my parents' oldest child. So I knew all my biological grandparents very well. My first grandparent did not die till I was in my mid-20s. And my two other grandparents did not die till I was in my late 30s, and I still have a grandparent alive today. If I have a child now, I won't be that. I won't live to see that. And I think that's the reason. Maybe if I live to be 125.
Well, they're saying we're going to live a lot longer.
No, I really do, because I had such a good relationship with my grandparents that a child that I would have, their child would probably not remember their grandparents because I'd be long dead.
Yeah, I remember thinking about it when my wife and I had Andrew, and Andrew is, what, 37 now. I'm not sure what that made me, but I was getting up in what I thought was up in age, and anymore I was pretty much a young dad. And yeah, I have had people talk to me about being old grand, you know, being parents at age 50, and there are a few that do that, and that would be scary to go to your kid's prom and you're 72 years old or something like that.
Well, even if you live, you are at a different stage of life.
Yes, you
are. My grandparents, for example, like the one who's alive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, when I was a child many years ago, when they were grandpa, he could take me to pick acorns in the park.
Yep.
And he was driving, and he was fairly young guy in those days. And when his great-grandkids came about, he was still able to do, he wasn't going to the park anymore, but he was still able to do things. Now, no way.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting, because I was thinking about yesterday. I was walking. I do my.
He's still alive, but just he ain't going to the park anymore.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, I was doing my walk, and I was thinking to myself, I'm going to keep doing this because I want to be able to. My eldest grandchild is 17, I think she is, and I want to be able not only to go to her wedding, but I want to be able to go to my youngest grandchild's wedding, and he's. 11, 10?
Yeah, but you might lose your mind, Glenn.
Well, I've already
physically
done that,
you might
so
be
what
okay.
The heck?
See, but it's just isn't that unfortunate that that can happen too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the saddest part about it.
You can be physically fit as a fiddle, and the old noggin can give out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to get there. I hope that doesn't happen.
And you won't know it.
Well, that's what they say is about Alzheimer's. Yeah. You know that old timers disease.
I'm pretty sure they don't know it.
Yeah.
I've seen people with that. I don't think they are aware.
Yeah, no, that's what I've heard, that they aren't.
I think they think they're perfectly coherent.
Yeah, I still think I'm perfectly coherent and I know better.
Well, you know what? I think part of the trouble is people don't tell them. I mean, a doctor tells them early on that they've got it, but their family doesn't walk in every day and go, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah, why?
So they aren't. So you're not aware
that
what you're saying makes no sense.
Yeah, no, I understand. And have you noticed all the medicines that are coming out now for, well, maybe you don't because you're just a baby, but those of us in our 70s are seeing all these ads coming out for Prevagen and others like that where they're going to make you sharp as a tack. I've looked up most of those medicines, and their reviews are fair at best.
Does anybody have any thoughts on this or may have experienced this?
Yeah.
Are there any grandparents out there who really enjoyed being grandparents to their grandkids, but now they could not do what they did when their grandkids were young. Anybody out there who has a special grandkid, that's what brought the feeling out in the pastor's show.
Yeah.
Was people's grandparents. We were talking about grandparents. And people have a very special feeling, I think completely different than your parents, about your grandparents.
Yes, and vice versa. Grandparents have a complete, I have a completely different relationship with my grandchildren than I had with my children.
So the telephone line, if you want to get in on this conversation at any point, we have 21 minutes left, 740-383-9944. And I told this story last Friday on the pastor's show, but I'll tell it again. My grandmother, my mom's mother, had five kids. Mm-hmm. And she loved kids, and she raised those kids, and she worked. She was a working mother in those days. She worked, she raised the kids all got older, and they all had grandkids. And she babysat those grandkids, and she took us places, and she was still working when I was, most of my life, she worked. And, okay, so then the great-grandkids started to come about in her lifetime. And I'll never forget, it sticks out in my brain as a stark memory. She was there one day, and one of her grandkids asked her to babysit the great-grandkid.
Oh.
And she told the kid no. And I thought, no. I said, nobody loved kids more than this woman. I can't imagine that she's saying no. So she left, or the grandchild left, and I said, why did you say no? That's strange. And she was not disabled. She didn't have a cane. She drove all her life. And she said, you know, she said, at this age, I'm just not comfortable anymore. She said, mm-hmm. I would be afraid I'd fall asleep. She said, I don't have the energy I had years ago. And she said, I think I could do it, but that's not good enough for a child.
Yeah.
And she said, also, you know, crying affects me differently at this age than it did at that age.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, when you're younger, you don't really handle crying very well, but you handle it. When you're my age, I don't handle crying very well, and I don't handle it. I don't want to hear my grandkids cry.
I think to hear a grandkid, a baby, crying for 20, 30 minutes like they do sometimes, I think that makes old people very nervous.
Yeah, it does.
It rattles them.
Because you want to be able to do something, but you really don't remember what to do.
Plus, by that point, your nerves are a little shot.
Yeah.
You know, you've been through it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that again. Well, also at that point, you're probably on some kind of medication. You probably don't have the energy you once had.
That's right.
So it's just, it's different. And I respect people who realize that. And don't try to push it.
I have somebody ask me, do you think of yourself as old? I said, I will think of myself as old when my granddaughter has children. And then I stopped and thought, my granddaughter is 17. It's not that far away.
Well, you know, I'm trying to think when my grandparents became great-grandparents for the first time. It was fairly early because...
Because you had a promiscuous family, right?
Well, apparently. Because what I do remember is, and I would never get the ages right here, but they had their kids very young. Like, I think my mother was 20. My grandma was 20 when she had my mom, and then 21 when she had her brother. It went pretty much like... she was always in her 20s, I think, when she had all her kids. So... when her kids got old enough, you know, she was like in her 40s, 50s, becoming a grandma. Well, one of the grandkids got somebody pregnant, I think, when they were 18. Mm-hmm. So the first great-grandkid came about, I think, when she was probably in her early 60s.
Yeah,
now, that one she babysat.
That would be rough.
Yeah. But, you know, it's what it was.
Yeah, and you know, if you stop and do the math, you could have... great-great-grandchildren before you're into your 60s, I bet.
Well, as long as you stay in that 20-year, you know, if you have your kids when you're 20, if your kids have their kids when they're 20, and your grandkids have 60. Kids when they're 20, then you're 60.
Yeah, but, you know, you can have babies before you're 20.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and it, obviously in these cases it did happen.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
well.
That's life.
Nobody called in to
talk about their grandparents. Maybe they didn't like them. They didn't care about them.
I remember my grandparents, and I think I mentioned it on the air last week. It was shocking to me when I thought back. My grandfather was born in the 1880s. That was my grandfather, and I remember him so
you had old grandparents.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I was the youngest in my family. My sister was 10 years my senior.
Now, see, I bet you have different feelings about your grandparents than I would about mine, because yours were older when you were born.
All I really, the feelings I had, I loved them. I only knew my grandfather Smith for a short time. He died when I was fairly young, in my, 10 or 11. But all I remember about him was his breath smelled like cigar smoke.
Well, that's why he died at that age. We're going to break, Glenn. We're coming back here in 60 seconds with much more. Don't you dare go away. A ghost. Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here, WWGH Radio, 740-383-9944. If you want to get in on the conversation, or if you just want to hear us, yep, we can do that for another 15 minutes here.
Hey, I was going to ask you, and I'm going to ask Dr. Feynman as well. I mentioned on my little ad for the show today that I'm going to mention this. Did you watch the Oprah Winfrey thing with
a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I watched the whole thing. I was the princess reminds me of my daughter-in-law that married my youngest son. Looks wise, they're both very pretty, and they kind of talk a lot alike. But I really felt sorry for both of them. And then I see today people are calling them all sorts of bad stuff. And what's that guy's name that walked out of the TV set?
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, walked out of the TV set because somebody told him he was full of poo-poo. And
well, that's not what he said. Did you see the clip?
I did see the clip.
Yeah, I mean, that guy was going after his throat. And that was not.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I would have walked out too.
Would you?
Well,
I never would have walked out and said, I would have given them an answer.
I don't know. I think what that guy, who's your colleague, that was his colleague, that wasn't a guest on the show,
no,
was sitting there diatribing on your colleague.
I didn't see it as a diatribe. Now, I didn't
he said, I mean, let's tell people, because they didn't see this.
Yeah.
What happened was the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle gave an interview to Oprah where they were certainly not favorable to the royal family. So the next morning on this British talk show, Piers Morgan spent a half hour saying how they had betrayed the monarchy. Now, this is a show that airs in Britain.
Yeah.
Okay, Piers Morgan is British, and he's talking about how they betrayed the monarchy by giving this da-da-da-da-da. So the next morning, now why didn't you go behind the scene or during a commercial? The next morning, one of his colleagues on air says, you're only doing that because she won't return your phone calls, and that's why you're bitter, and you gave this half-hour diatribe yesterday because of this, and you're biased. And so Piers Morgan got up and he's quit now.
Well, as far as I was concerned, after watching other things that he's done, I bet his buddy was telling the truth.
He might have been, but that was not the professional way
to do it. It was kind of weak, but
and you know what,
it was also weak to get up and walk off. That was
I think he knew he was quitting. I think he knew I'm done at that moment.
Yeah,
if you're going to do this on the air,
but that's kind of like a crybaby.
Yeah, but you know what? I've said before, there are things, and I'm only using you as an example. I know about everybody here this would be the case. But there are things you have told me during breaks or during private conversations I know you wouldn't want me to bring up on the air because you've told me about them.
Okay.
And I wouldn't do it because that's professional courtesy. And you have also said things in the breaks that clearly you did in the breaks.
Yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah.
I don't come back on the air and say, hey, that thing you said during the break.
But did you sense that he was, the colleague was saying things that were private things?
Well, I don't know that Piers Morgan hates her because of that. I don't know.
I must say there are things, as you and I both know, that I would resign for. I also know that Piers Morgan is kind of a panty waste. I've seen him do things like that on other shows.
Here's the problem with a resignation for anybody in any field, and obviously Piers just did that. The problem is if you're resigning because you want to go home and sit and just don't want to do it anymore, that's one thing. If you're resigning because of
principle,
I don't know if it's principle, because I'm sure Piers Morgan feels it was principle, but was it? Some people feel it was, some people feel it wasn't. I don't know. I think if it's for that, if you can't work out your problem, then you know that's a bad way to resign.
Had you ever heard, and I don't remember his colleague's name, had you ever heard that his colleague speak before? I had never
No. I don't know who he was. And I think he was making a name for himself. And you know what? He did.
That was, yeah. And that was one thing that I thought, why is he doing this?
Well, that's right. That's your colleague. You see them every morning, every day, during the breaks. You come in with them in the morning. You leave with them in the afternoon. And you took air time to do. And clearly you had not said that off the air. Or there would have been an issue.
Wait till you hear the dirt I'm going to pull on you in my next
show.
Well,
I just, you know what? I do not understand resigning or trying to leverage yourself, which I'm sure Piers Morgan, who clearly was the star of that show, that's what this guy was trying to do. He was trying to leverage himself on Piers Morgan's celebrity to get noticed, and it worked.
But one of the things that annoys the heck out of me, and I've known an awful lot of famous people, and some that do this sort of thing, they really think you owe it to them. And you really don't owe them any more than you owe anybody
else. Yeah, but Piers is the host, and I don't give a flip-flop about Piers Morgan, but he's the host of that show.
I didn't realize he was the host.
Well, he's one of the hosts.
Okay.
And he certainly is the most well-known of the, because I don't know who any of those other people were.
Yeah, from England.
Yeah, but Piers Morgan had a show on CNN, so we know him.
He did.
Okay, and he was on that other America's Got Talent or one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is on that show, and, you know, he clearly didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, it did kind of catch him at the back door.
So that's what's inappropriate. And, you know, also, why does everything have to be my way or the highway? Because that's what a leverage is. It's not let's work to fix this problem. It's my way or the highway.
And they didn't allow, neither one of them allowed themselves any time to fix the problem.
It was a blow up
and let's get out of here.
Well, and I can see why Piers isn't coming back.
Yeah, I can.
Because he probably has
got plenty of money. He doesn't have
to. Yeah, but you know what? Not only do you get mistrust in that co-host, you probably have now mistrust in the producer who let it run. You have mistrust in the director who put the camera on him, didn't cut his microphone. You have mistrust in that whole show. You probably don't trust any of your colleagues anymore.
I understand that. Now, but you didn't respond to my question.
About the interview. Go ahead.
Well, I felt sorry for Meghan. I also felt sorry for I thought the prince was even better than his wife, because I thought Meghan was a little bit of a kind of a crybaby type thing.
What?
But I really felt sorry for both of them.
Just in the essence of time, I'll run through this quick. Okay. Number one, I think Oprah did a tremendous job.
Oh, she did. She always
does. And Oprah hasn't always been known as the best news interviewer in the world, but that interview was great.
Yeah.
She did very...
She was really shocked when Megan brought up the bit about the child color.
Yeah, but she did not back up on any questions.
She did not. She was tough.
She didn't do an... You know, Oprah used to do interviews that were, you know, Tom Cruise jumping on the couch and makeovers. She was as good as any journalist ever has been in that interview. So good for her.
Yeah.
So that's that. But beyond that, you know what my feeling on those two are? Is that... why do that on national television? You were suicidal.
That's when I thought she started getting a little bit of crybaby-ish.
Well, first of all, everybody in the world knows who the Queen of England is. Yeah. Everybody knows who Prince Charles is.
Well, and Meghan was very positive about both of those people, I thought.
Well, Harry wasn't. He said he's had no communication with his father since.
Yes.
Well, that's not very positive.
If that's a fact, that's a fact.
Yeah, but is he communicating with his grandmother? Probably not. That was the inference I got from it.
Oh, I didn't get that from it.
You can't talk to your father, are you talking to grandma?
Well, dad is not doing well, and maybe I don't know.
No, Charles is doing okay. Queen's wife, husband. Who would he be the grandfather who's not doing well? Oh, William. Okay.
I thought that's who he wasn't able to talk to.
No, he said his father. Charles.
Oh, well, his father's kind of a...
Yeah, but he said it was all over this issue.
Maybe he's the one that said, what color is that baby going to be?
Maybe he did. Maybe he did, and it's wrong. But, you know, why are you trying to soil that family? Everybody knows who they are. You know what you're doing. I didn't understand the purpose for the interview. What were they trying to accomplish?
That is the question right there, which kind of questions why did Oprah do it?
Doing it's different, though.
But I think it was so interesting that was done well.
See, I disagree with that at all. I disagree with that because I've always said, and people question it, but I think any journalist worth anything would say this, if Hitler would do an interview, if Saddam Hussein would do an interview, if Osama, you're there.
Yeah, you got it.
Why don't you want to know why they did what they did? Isn't that fascinating? Why'd you do that?
Yeah,
why'd you do that?
Very fascinating.
So Oprah, I don't blame at all. If they're willing to do it, do it. And do the interview. I don't know that anybody's ever done an interview like that.
I wasn't blaming Oprah. I was blaming the decision to even do the interview. Why did both parties think it was a good point? That's all.
I think Oprah did exactly the right thing.
She had a choice, and it was...
She did the right one.
She had to pick that choice, of course.
And she got the biggest ratings.
But why did both sides want to do it? Which I guess I'm saying, why did Meghan and Prince Harry want to do it?
I don't know why they did, but I know Oprah, why she did.
I think there was a bit of... vindictiveness. They were trying to say, okay, if you guys are going to treat us this way, we're going to let the world know.
That's
about
right.
This.
And maybe they were telling the truth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they weren't, but why did you choose that forum to do it? Now, Oprah, she absolutely did the right thing. As a journalist, as a personality, who's going to turn? I wouldn't have turned it down.
No, absolutely.
You don't turn that down at all. But why they went as far as to say what they said, that's your father, that's your grandmother, that's the family you've known all your life. Apparently you got some hostility.
Apparently, and I think that's probably they've been harboring those hostilities since they got married. And I'm guessing... Microphone still working.
There you go.
I'm guessing that it was kind of a payback. Because they have no other way to pay back the royal family because they're beneath the royal family, or so that they're told.
You know what? But what people love the royal family, certainly in England, and that interview played there.
Yeah, but you know, it was apparently by the...
Did anybody doubt that the Queen was icy until they saw this interview? We all know she's icy.
Oh, I thought...
she doesn't smile a whole lot.
Meghan said how well she got along with the Queen.
Did she? So the Queen came off good.
Yes, I thought the Queen came
See, I didn't see the whole interview, and my take was that the royal family did not come off good. I didn't realize the Queen was a wonderful woman.
I thought, as a matter of fact, I thought Meghan was more than happy with Queen.
Queen didn't make the remark?
No, absolutely not, and nor did the Queen's husband make the remark.
The Queen's husband hasn't been awake for poor man's ill, and that's also the timing of this.
Yeah.
He's 99.
Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, I don't know where I was going with that earlier. I forgot what I – never mind.
Well, I just don't know why they did it. It's good they were positive. So the Queen's a nice woman. Grandma's a nice woman.
Yep.
But Charles is not.
She probably won't take care of the grandkids, though.
Well, I'm still not sure why they've done what they've done. They left the monarchy because people made comments.
I think that
did we ever get an answer why?
No. There wasn't much. They kind of implied that they had been browbeaten out. Kind of like.
Well, doesn't the Queen run that?
Yeah, she does. But I'm sure there are a lot of people. They called it the corporation or something like that. It was very cold what they called the royal family. Not that's what everybody calls it, apparently. I really thought that Meghan went overboard to tell how much she cared about the Queen.
Well, and here she's this new, you know, how long she been in this family? Two years?
Yeah, not very long.
And all of a sudden, you know what? Isn't it the truth? Even when you're the royal family, when the grandson marries somebody else, there's family trouble.
Especially if that somebody else happens to be of a different color. And I think that was the main thing that was brought up, that she was terribly disappointed that somebody in the royal family, high up in the royal family, would be concerned about the color of her baby.
But not the Queen.
But not the Queen or her husband.
Or her husband.
Yeah.
Okay, so we basically know who she's talking about.
Well, and if you stop and think about what happened with his father and Princess Diane, his father wasn't real nice to Princess Diane.
Think he wanted to marry her.
No, he didn't. And he wanted to marry the lady
he's with now.
He's with now. And then why don't you show a pair and tell him that to begin with? Why did he go ahead and marry
Princess Diane? Would you try to cross the Queen? It's not like your average mother here. She could bring down the whole...
I'm not sure that I would be frightened.
Fact that I heard yesterday was that right now the most popular member of that family in England, even surpassing the Queen, the Queen's number two right now, is Kate Middleton. And I don't hear her having these problems. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, we're done. I'm heading for the dugout. Glenn's coming up with the good doctor, and maybe they'll talk about the royal families. But ta-ta for now.
Oh. You got to go to a shrink?
Yes.
How much do they shrink? What are they before
Charlie.
They shrink?
No, wait. You know, so you have mental anguish over this
yes,
now.
I do.
So it's not only the physical, it's the.